What radio? The music you want.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
The world's biggest windbag?
With your host, he's Dan.
God, I love my work.
RadioWhat.com.
What's up, party people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live and in living color from the Radio What studios. And this is my podcast, What Makes You Famous? It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do I always send you? DJLittleRock.com. One more time, DJLittleRock.com. Check availability and get a free price quote. And maybe you could have me at your next event. You know I like to party with the people. The people need to be entertained. Are you not entertained? Let me entertain you. Today on the program, I got something a little bit different for you. Christ Cipher. Christ, spelled like Jesus Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, Cipher, C-Y-P-H-E-R. Christ Cipher, all one word. Look him up on TikTok. Look him up on TikTok. Go ahead. Pause. I'll wait. All right. Look him up on TikTok. I want him to get his 1,000 fans so he can start doing lives, because in the next few minutes, you're going to hear a little bit more about Christ Cipher and the types of content, the types of things, he's got a lot on his mind and he's got a lot of knowledge that he needs to impart. He's read a lot of books. He is a book. Okay. You can't know everything, but you could try. You could try, but Christ Cipher, he's got a thirst for knowledge, and he's got a thirst for teaching. He wants to teach you. So look him up on TikTok, but in the next few minutes, you're going to hear more about Christ Cipher. Exciting. This week's shows, let's see. I have, one public show, my usual Friday night gig at the Rab in Conway, Arkansas, the video dance party, karaoke jam. Yes, I said karaoke. You're the stars of the show. They got a full bar, kitchens open, pool tables, pool tournament. So if you want to get try your hand at playing pool and possibly make some money while you're doing it, get on out to the Rab, Conway, Arkansas, 8 p.m. until 12:30 in the AM. You're the stars of the show. You could sing pretty much whatever you want. We're all adults there. Well, kind of. We have fun. Good food, good people, good drinks, and good times. And not necessarily all in that order. At the Rab in Conway, Arkansas. And then on Saturday, I think I have a wedding. I'm very excited about that. I love weddings. But unless you're invited, you cannot come. Okay, the only reason I mention it is because I get to be a part of people's big day. Is that cliche? I'm part of your big day. I get to help them entertain the people. Help them make the best day ever. Help them out. I know it's not all about me, because it's all about the bride and groom. Yeah. They get to pick out the music and the style, and I get to mix it in with what I do, and we'll give them a good send-off. So excited. Weddings. All right, let's get into it with Christ Cipher. I got him on Zoom, so if you're listening to the audio version of this, check out the video version on my YouTube page, youtube.com/user/KeysDan. Zooming. Christ Cipher now. Christ Cipher, what is happening?
I don't know. We had an event, and I was all for it. So there was an eclipse, and it was a time for renewal, and I set my intentions, and this is part of it. So I told you that I'd be doing podcasting, so we're going to start today, and it'll just be some fun.
All right, then. Well, yeah, I mean, whether we liked it or not, there was an event, an astronomical event. It's still actually going. The planets are aligned. There's a comet out there. The eight major planets are lined up in the sky. So if you have a clear sky, you could probably still see all these planets in front of you. When the eclipse happened yesterday, as we record this podcast, I only saw maybe two of them in the sky, but it was amazing. I don't know how much I believe in it, but I had my crystals, okay? That and when I was in the Florida Keys, I had a medium give me a crystal back in 1989, and I've had that. It's a long crystal wrapped in gold. And then just recently, my friend Heather, I think you might know who she is, she gave me another crystal that she found. So I took both of them in my bare hand as the eclipse was in totality, and I put them face up in my hand and charged them, quote unquote. I'm not sure how much I believe in it, but hey, that's what I was told to do. I did it. And hey, I might be the better for it. I might not be. But what are your views on the eclipse heard around the world? I guess it was mostly across the United States that where the totality came in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I was about to lose something. I've got my ball from my bottle of Belvedere. So
what is Belvedere?
It's a liquor.
All right.
I didn't know that this was inside the lid of the bottle of Belvedere. So it's a little small sphere, little ball, but yeah. So anyway, as far as the eclipse, what do I think? I don't.
Okay.
As far as that goes, I didn't buy into it because I heard too much, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype.
This is a news report, basically. I heard so much about what was happening and what could happen and what should happen. And what I experienced was it was nice. I was able to set my intentions and meditate. And I mean, it was just a thing. So I don't know. We'll see the effects of it. I heard that so many things were going to happen. There was a planet coming, Nibiru, that was not the moon. It was Nibiru, and it was coming through, and I guess it was the mothership going to take people back. So I don't know if that was what happened. I don't know who left. Somebody said this was the apocalypse, and Jesus was coming, and it was take the rapture happened, and apparently nobody went. So you know, we've got 1,000 years of no church. So have fun with that. Yeah. So I mean, it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. I took a break and I sat in the grass and grounded myself and I watched it. And then I meditated and set my intentions for the next time, you know, and I'm looking forward to the next eclipse 400 years from now. I'm not worried about the one coming up. I want the one 400 years from now. That's mine.
Yeah. So, well, they all line up again, 24, right. 60 something in May, I think is when it was calculated. But yeah, this is a once in a lifetime event that happened. And yes, there was a lot of hype. There was a lot of commercialization. A lot of t-shirts were sold. A lot of glasses were sold. Now the glasses, I'm very happy I had, or else I might be blinded a little bit, but I too went to a very natural location. I went down to Mayflower on Grassy Lane or Grassy Road. They have a spot there that the wildlife has refuged, and I was able to, you know, get out of my van and step onto the soil, and I had my little crystals and I did my thing. But hey, as far as the hype, it was pretty cool to look at. Every once in a while, as I was doing my travels, I would take my little glasses, look up. Oh, yeah, sure. It's covered it up. Oh, yeah, sure. Now, the planets that you're talking about, I did see, some laughable memes, like the Death Star was going across the moon. I thought that was funny enough to share. This is why NASA doesn't want you to take pictures of the lunar eclipse, because the Death Star was coming upon us. Now, the end of the world, all right, myself, I'm born in 1969. I've lived through end of the world events a lot of times in my life. Back in the 60s, there was the end of the world. There were a lot of movies, airplane and disaster movies, earthquakes and Towering Inferno. And there was guys wearing sandwich boards. The end is near. Life as we know it, it's over. This is back in the 70s.
There you go.
And every once in a while, sporadically since then, it's happened again and again. I think the most recent that I can remember is 2012. The Mayans predicted the end of the world because their calendar ended. It didn't end. It just started over.
It's a cycle. Okay. So I think that's where we are. That sums up what I was feeling. Like there was a lot of You called it hype, and I was just saying that there was, I call it rhetoric. Mm-hmm. It's people just talking just to say it. Like it's confabulation of whatever story they last heard. And we had a massive amount of it. Like it was an unheard of amount. You know, there was a mothership coming. There was Nibiru coming. There was a, if you didn't see it, there was a face next to the moon a few weeks ago.
Okay.
A giant head. So I don't know what that was, but it was all kinds of stuff going on. So what I realized is that there's a thing called TikTok, and that's what I came for. Like it's, I never looked at TikTok. I've had it, and I finally got on there because my kids changed. It was like, that was, you know, on a personal level, it was like, I'm like, I don't understand these people. And I realized that I got on TikTok for like, somebody sent me something and I saw it and I said, it was a kid complaining about their parent. And I was like, okay, I see what's going on now. So I got on there and it's like, they've got so much good stuff. When the government said we're getting rid of it, I said, okay, well, let me go look, because if they want to get rid of it, then I need to go there because I recognize something for me. Like it spoke to me at that point. And I'm a special person, right? I used to think that I was narcissistic. Okay. That would be the one thing that I saw when I went to college and I had Psych 101. Mm-hmm. And when they were talking about narcissism, it was me. Every bit of it. I was, so from age 12 to 14, somewhere around there, to when I found out I was fully that, but it was because of my lifestyle. I explained to you in my first, our first little meeting, you know, I told you, we just want to have fun today. There's nothing serious. There's no big deal, but I didn't know what was different about me. Something was definitely different. And I realized that I had some issues. Like my brain goes really fast, and I don't know how to explain that to people, but I found out about something called autism, and I found out about ADHD, and I was diagnosed with ADHD like within 5 minutes I went to someone else's therapy session, and she said, stop. And she went and printed something. This is you. And she handed it to me, and I was like, so I cried. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, I thought that I had brain damage from multiple concussions. I have a hard time holding a thought. Like when I have a thought, it's there. And then it's, you know, I'm catching anything. And when I see thoughts in entire, I think in lectures, I don't think in terms of a sentence. So if you say the wrong word or the right word, either one, I lose where I'm at and I run off into that other one. And so I never wanted to do anything like a podcast. And I said, you know what? I can, because if I'm like this, there's other people like this, and we need to be okay with who we are. Nobody's going to understand. Nobody will be able to recognize what we're saying. It doesn't matter. I should feel free to be myself. And that's where we are today. When I laid there, I said, I want to be happy being me. And I reached out for, my intention was reaching out for my grandmother's energy, right? My grandma, she loved me, and I knew that she loved every other grandkid. Everybody that ever encountered her received that love. Now that same person raised her children. As a mother, she wasn't that, right? She had to raise 12 children. It was difficult. And they didn't get the same. But when she became a grandmother, I don't know that other person. And I said, I want that, because I also was a different person. My kids, they may not like their dad. They may not understand their dad. And their dad doesn't understand himself. So I get it. But I have a grandchild, and my grandson is going to get nothing but love. And it's like, we suspected he had autism. We don't know. We don't know. He's three. So there's a cat on the roof. Okay. So there, it doesn't proven. Really matter what, it doesn't really matter what he has or what, you know, I saw the autism stuff and it tells you how to act. And I realized that everybody has some level of that. And what autism is, it's not for the person. It's not for you to understand the person. It's for you to understand that you need to give them a little bit of room. You need to give them some room to be themselves. Otherwise, they'll be like me, and they'll learn to mask and be what you want them to be, and they'll hold it as long as they can, and then it hurts. I can't explain how that pain works, but it's a pain. It's a physical thing where you can't think because you're trying to think. And so that's where we are now. I laid there and I said, I want to be me and I want to be happy being me. And the world can accept me or not. I don't even care at this point.
Well, Christ Cypher, you know, it's so nice when you get seen, when you can see that there's a label out there. You're not alone. Okay. And there's a reason that autism is called a spectrum now, because there's low functioning, there's high functioning, and there's all levels in between. I think, you know, you're a very high functioning person, whether you're autistic or not, whether you have ADD or not, whether you have attention deficit disorder or not. It's, you know, people are very complex. They're not just one thing. You're a storyteller, and sometimes your stories meander. Anybody that listened to their first podcast that we did 4 years ago, I'm realizing that you were one of the first podcasts that I did on this iteration of what I've been doing. And I noticed that your stories meandered, and I always wondered if you were going to be getting back to the point. And you always did seem to get back to the point. It was Dave Chappelle level, you getting out on this highway way out there on I-80. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back on Dave Ward Drive. For those people that are listening and don't know Conway, get to know Conway, Arkansas. But go. I mean, but continue. I mean, your feelings are deep, and yeah. I enjoy talking to you, man.
Well, so I got on TikTok.
Yes.
And I didn't like it. I hated TikTok. And I found out that there's a thing called an algorithm, and I learned how to turn off the algorithm. You have to erase all your history every time you get off of it.
Yes.
Otherwise, it will give you more of what you searched for that one time, and it'll just constantly hit you with the same thing. So I found what I needed, because I saw, like, it's not just the autism stuff, not just as far as narcissism. Let me explain something. Mm-hmm. Narcissism gets a bad rap. Okay. Every coach you've ever had, if you have a head coach, that person is a narcissist by design. You cannot control a group of people without that level of control. Like, you got to be able to control the crowd. You got to control the other coach. You got to control the other players. And whoever's doing it the best is winning. Okay. So I used to be able to do that. And I got to a point where I felt like I wasn't using my powers for good. And so now I want to see how to help others that are dealing with it, because you deal with it, right? If you're in a sport and you got that, it's fine. But if the person is in your house, you know, and they're in your job, and they're trying to make you think a certain way, they're trying to make you be a certain way, they won't just say it, but they'll treat people a certain way to give you this. And I grew up with that. And, you know, growing up in the church, that's where that came from. And it was okay. Like I said, my situation is, my story is, I never felt bad. I never felt unhappy. And so I don't know how. So I see people unhappy and I want to know what they're feeling, and I can't. So now I have to try to, you know, find my own situation that's similar, and then I can feel it. And then when I learn the stuff about dealing with narcissism, it's like, you got to learn how to respond, or more importantly, not respond. Like, you can't get mad. You can't get happy. They're going to feed you, and they want you to give something back. And you got to learn how to just be even keel. Like, yeah, okay, cool. And that's the response for everything. And once you understand that, then you can make it. Like, you can survive it. And for me, like, at this point, it's like, I don't have a lot of problems that I consider problems. So I'm looking at other people and I'm seeing that, well, they're struggling, like, especially dealing with me. My kids have a hard time dealing with me because I'm not straightforward. Those circles that you hear, my kids have, everything is in that. Like, I've never had the sugarcoat. I've never hid who I was from them. So it was like, you know, dad thinks this way and you just got to deal with it. Like, that's how it is. And so now I'm able to recognize that this is bad, that's bad, you know, narcissism stuff. It's like, you're doing this, don't do that. So now I'm able to control it. And so with that, I said, I've got to be able to help other people. And that's what this is. This is where we start to open up and just take who we are, whoever we are, however we are, and be honest about it. And keep moving. Like, that's it. Just step one, keep moving. Don't be afraid to be you. And so when I got to TikTok, I got to see other people being themselves, And then all of a sudden I found out about TikTok Live. That's where whatever you call, we used to call it, what is it called? The political correctness or the proper way to say stuff. If you say the wrong word, they have a thing within that system that will shut your whole live down. Like we're talking here. This is what TikTok Live is like. There's you, there's this little thing of me, and I say the wrong word. We've got a few seconds to drop me off and bring me back. And I can say certain words like TikTok, this is for entertainment, you know, purposes, educational purposes only. Mm-hmm. You know, if I say that, then we stay up. And if I said something too bad, like the word unalive, every synonym to the word unalive, if you say it, if you say anything other than unalive, if you get too loud, it's going to say end it. It's going to cut it off. So I'm watching that and I'm like, it's teaching these people how to act. It's making them be a certain way. And I think that's what the government didn't like. Not the fact that it was doing that, that people were responding and people were acting like the thing told them to act. So I'm happy with it right now. Like, I don't want to get on live. I do want followers. So go to Christ Cypher, one word, and follow me. Right. That's what this is for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to produce content. I don't have any intentions of putting one video up. But once I get to about 700 followers, I can go live and I can explain things to people. And that gets us to where to the meat of what I came here for. Like, I have some issues. I don't understand a lot of things and I see stuff going on and I can't figure out why people are mad at each other. Right. This is that circle.
Let me stop you there.
I have some thoughts. Thank you.
I have some thoughts that you're talking semantics, the terminology where you say narcissistic, it might be termed as leadership. You know, you say that you were brought up in the church. You have to get your house in order. That's part of a biblical teaching.
Yeah.
I remember you're wearing a shirt right now that says Catholic. Anybody watching the video version of this, I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school till sixth grade. So I know that there's a lot in the Catholic teachings, and you ended up with indoctrination, which is what's going on everywhere. You get indoctrinated from the time that you start to learn things. You know, we're teaching our children to color this way, to speak this way, say this, don't say that. That's indoctrination. That's happened when I was a kid in Catholic school, and it was a lot of call and response. Christ is with us. Christ will come again. The Lord is with you and also with you. Lift up to the Lord. We live. You know, there was a lot of call and response. I remember that. But, you know, TikTok. Yes. Okay. I go live on TikTok. I post a lot on TikTok. I finally. I was sitting at 400 followers for the longest time. And all I wanted to do really was finding another place to play video games and grow a community. And TikTok can be that place. Twitch wasn't giving it to me. I turned off my search history on YouTube and, you know, their live wasn't giving it to me. But TikTok, I'm starting to grow a community. I got to 1,000 followers. I mean, all of a sudden, within a day, I went from 400 to almost 2,000 followers. I think I've backed down to about 1,700. But once you get to 1,000, you could start going live and giving people an idea of who you are. I'm interested in seeing Christ Cypher and the words that you're speaking. Now, I do want you to continue with how you think TikTok has been shaping all minds, not just young minds, but everyone, really. How has it been working?
I don't even want to go there.
Okay.
I want to take it another direction like that. They're causing it's fights that are happening because there's a thing called history, and that's what I came here for. I came to give you comedy. Like I told you, my intention was I'm going to be Dick Gregory of 2024. Like, but it's not. I can't. Right. So he was him, and I can't be that. Like, I don't have a comedy for what we're dealing with. Like, we've got people that should be coming together. Like, we found new information, we're all happy. But the way that TikTok is structured, the people who have control, and I say control because they have a thing called moderators. Like, if we're here, we've got two other people that are actually moderating and kicking people out and muting people. Like I spent my first few days on there getting muted every time I go on. I'll make a few comments and they mute me. And I couldn't figure out why they were doing that, because apparently people are reading and I'm affecting. Like if I was talking to you here and I'm reading comments, it may affect how I talk. It'll affect how I feel. So I was like, okay. And I learned that from, I'm not gonna say YouTube. I can't remember what, Facebook Live. And I learned that if it's somebody that I respect, that I want to hear what they have to say, I can't comment. I can't comment because I'm influential. I'll say that. And I was raised, like you said, leadership at Catholic. My leadership was influence. When he told me that I was the leader of the black boys, and I couldn't understand what that meant, because I was like, I don't even see the black boys. You don't let me have more than class. You don't let me have class with more than one of them at a time. So I see them at lunch and I can't influence them. What happened was I segregated the lunchroom because I was angry. And they wouldn't let me sit with my friends because they were seniors and I was a junior. You got to get up because this is so-and-so's seat. I'm like, he's not here. Wait till he gets here. No, you got to get up. Okay, fine. I tell these guys, get up. This is now the black table. Nobody sits here but black people for whatever reason I chose. And within a few minutes, I'm getting smacked in the head by the priest. And we've got to go talk. And he explains to me that you're the leader of the black boys. So it's important what I say and what I do. And at that age, I did not understand. And I became hostile. Well, I'm gonna say hostile. That's a bad choice of words, but that's what it was. I was argumentative. I challenged him because he always wanted to, as I saw it, use me for that influence. He wanted me to speak to people, talk to people, put me out front. And I couldn't understand why. And he would get mad when I would be myself. And I didn't know that I had autism, which means that I don't understand, can't ask them how they go to the bathroom. So I ask them. I just say what I feel. We're eating lunch and he's using his feet to eat. So I want to know, how do you wipe your ass? Because you live alone is what you said. How do you do that? And so he takes me away. And so when I ask this person for money, because this person is giving you $2 million, I just ask for five. I just want to check because I want to give it to my dad. And he would like it. And so when they say, well, you can't do that, it's offensive. And I'm like, I don't understand. And nobody was ever able to, you know, explain to me why I'm wrong. They just say, stop. And so what I learned was in this new time is that there are words that trigger people and make people feel things, whether you feel it or not. So I have to learn what trigger words are and try my best not to say them. And that's as far as I've got.
It's over correction.
So I'm trying not to trigger anybody.
It's correction.
Say it again.
It's over correction. And the, you know, we have a tendency as humans, as in the Western world, to overcorrect, and it's okay, you know, to overcorrect. But did you go to Catholic school all the way through to senior? You graduated from Catholic school or?
Yeah. 9 through 12. Yeah.
Okay. Now, my experience when I was in Catholic school, I did not experience racism until seventh grade, really. All through Catholic school, I didn't know black, white, red, brown. I had teachers that were all different races. My sixth grade teacher, it wasn't just priests and nuns that were teachers in the Catholic school. I had Mr. Aikman. He was from somewhere in Africa. And I thought he was the best teacher. I still remember him to this day. But it wasn't until seventh grade, I went to public school, and somebody told me, oh, that guy's different than you. That guy's black. You shouldn't like him because of that. Why? I hadn't. This is all learned. Well, this is something that I had to learn. But until then, I didn't know that in Catholic school. Your experience with Catholic school is a little bit different than mine. I didn't realize that there were races in. Yeah, I mean, I guess Morgan Freeman said it best. You want to stop talking about, you want to stop racism? Quit talking about it, you know, but hey, it is what it is.
So what you got was that, you know, I made that choice because it was all I had. Hmm. I knew that the black kids sat by the vending machine.
Okay.
We all sat there, and that's what most people ate. And what happened was, I made the conscious choice to make it racial because I didn't have anything else. I could have gone with, this is the 11th grade table. We had a lot of seniors that were with us in other grades. So I did that to try to say, okay, it doesn't make sense. And I didn't know how to say to him or to anybody that, why are you being mean to me? Because I've been spoiled. I didn't experience racism. I've had white privilege my whole life.
Wait, Christ Cipher. Let me stop you there. Are you black? Are you black?
I am.
Wow.
I am.
Okay. All right.
But well, because well,
levity, my levity, is, jokes.
Let me show you. My father is black, and my mother's father is black.
Okay.
And that's as far as that's all the blackness I have.
Okay.
So my father's mother and father, and then my mother's father, and that's it. So whatever, and because of what happened in this, we're not going to go there just yet.
Okay.
So that'll be for my podcast. So it's like stuff happened where I wanted to also bring up genealogy, right?
Yeah.
So when you asked me that, how would I know? How would I know I was black?
Exactly. Well, it's a construct.
My only answer to that was, well, I'm going to show you. When I was in kindergarten, I had a friend who told me that, ooh, she called you a nigger. So you got to cuss her out. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't even get mad when she said it. I didn't know what was going on. And he said, you got to cuss her out. And I was like, what does that mean? I can't cuss. And he went through it and told me what to say. And it wasn't cuss words. He said, well, we're going to say this so we don't get in trouble. And then when we went to do it, I found out that God is on my side. I don't have to get anybody. And I've lived with that. By the time I went, I got my confidence up to do it. And then all of a sudden somebody ran into her. She fell on the ground. And I learned, you know what? He can handle it. I don't have to handle stuff like that. But that was the first time where when I got older and I understand what that word was, I knew I went back to that. So the thing is, my grandmother is Apache Indian. So I didn't ever, my mother is half Apache. So it's like, I didn't know, I knew what black people were, but I didn't know that there was a difference. Like my family has, you know, different types all over. Like everybody just looks different. There's people that look white. There's people that look black. There's people that are in between. There's whole full Indian people. And so my grandpa was Santa Claus. I think I told you that before. My grandpa, I thought he was Santa Claus because he played that role and people would drive by. They saw him. They'd be happy when they saw him because they knew that was Santa Claus. And he's, you know, so I thought that was it. He made toys. You know, he did stuff. I thought that was him. And then so when I discovered Santa Claus isn't real, it was extra weird for me because I'm like, well, so he's just my grandpa. Okay. Well, when I got older, I understood the part about racism. I understood being black. And it was like, it was hard because I wasn't receiving that. The police would pull me over. They would follow me. They pull me up. I'm riding in nice cars. And so we riding around in nice cars. We get pulled over. And they never gave us a ticket. I don't see anything on your record. I don't want to be the first one to do that. So they let us go. I had that my whole life. I still get it now. So I don't have that feeling of they're going to kill me. I don't have that. So I understand what people get, but I don't personally have it. Like, I don't understand a lot of stuff, but that's the main one, you know, when it comes to that. What I learned was that everybody's different. Everybody's walk is different. I'm cute. That's the word I would use. I'm cute. I'm nice looking. And that was the biggest part of my life. And there was a woman who told me that you're not going to have your looks. You're not going to be able to get by on your looks forever. And I never knew what she meant until I got older and I looked in the mirror one day. And for the first time, I didn't like what I saw. It was like, whoa.
Why not? You're adorable, man.
I started feeling bad. Yeah, but I felt bad. I had never looked in the mirror and didn't like what I saw. And I was 40 something years old. So I had to, that gave me, like, I don't have good empathy. I do sympathy pretty well, but I don't have empathy. So when I felt that feeling, it helped me understand a lot of different stuff. And it was like, okay, so this is what other people feel when they go. And I'm feeling really bad. I want to work out. I need to put something on my face. I need to fix this. That's what I felt. And I couldn't imagine. That made me think, well, what about a person that can't fix it? Like, no matter what they do, they don't like it. And so that helped me understand that be considerate of people. And I tell my kids, don't, like, my kids are nice looking. All of them are beautiful. Like, I'm like, you know, if you don't like your mom is gorgeous, I'm considered good looking. So, you know, you're good. But don't put that in other people's face because it makes them feel bad. And that's what I had. And I don't know why to tell them that. It just was in me to always tell them, don't do that to people. Like, you do that when you come home. Yeah, you can tell me how pretty you are. I'm so beautiful. I'm pretty. You can do it. You're gorgeous. Go ahead. But don't do that to other people because that makes them mad at you. I don't know why, but they get mad at you. They hate you.
All right. I'm starting to smell the narcissism. Here it is right there.
I don't see the narcissism. Okay. And that was me trying to, when I saw it in them, cause I'm projecting, right. I'm projecting I see myself in them doing that. And that's when I would try to tell them. And so when you see that, then you say something that tells me, well, don't do it. Right. Stop. Calm down. And people don't understand. That's what you have to help people in those situations, because that's one that it's not automatic. It deals with trauma. It's rooted in trauma, right? Where you, when you know how people compartmentalize and they close off stuff, they close off pain. And so you end up not having feelings. That's the best way to describe it. You don't have feelings. And so you don't feel things. And so you have to be told. And so I appreciate that.
Well, I've told my daughter a while back sometimes she tries to hurt my feelings, you know, that, and you were talking about that the kids, sometimes you'll have some strife, some rivalry with them. Well, you remember, daddy's work all the time. You know, when daddies aren't home, they get to spend a lot of time with their mamas a lot of time. Yeah, I mean, your wife or, you know, a significant other, she could be working or out of the house, but mothers are mothers for a reason. They're maternal. They know how to nurture. Daddies, you know, we weren't raised that way. We're raised to be tough, yeah, and not have feelings and not cry, even though we want to. You know, we want to have feelings. We want to cry. We want to be as nurturing as the mama can be. And that's the traditional thing. And, you know, I'm about to get canceled because I'm doing traditional values. Sometimes the mamas are the daddies, and sometimes the daddies are the mamas. Sometimes it's two daddies. Sometimes it's two mamas. And I too have, yeah, have grandkids as well. Now, you know, back to the racism, I'm from Miami. I'm half Cuban, half Irish. I think I have a first or second cousin that is as black as the night, okay? In the Caribbean, we have melanin. When you get close to the equator, we get darker, okay? My grandma can get dark as can be, melanin, okay? But this whole racism thing, I've thought it was a bunch of bull since I was a kid. It's all constructed, you know? Why did, and, you know, people owning other people? Since Egyptian times, man, you know, people have tried to have dominance over other people. And I know that, yes, the black, the African Americans in this country have had a bad go of it. You know, this country has been traditionally not good to black people.
Now we get you canceled.
Yes, so please.
You can stop me whenever. Now you get to stop me whenever you get ready, because now I'm going to change. I'm going to give you what TikTok, what the big fight is. I'm going to give you all of that. The biggest fight is black people fighting black people. And you consider Africans black, and you consider African-Americans as African and or black. My birth certificate says for father, nothing. Right. And then there's court order, and he put himself on there, just says court order, and has his name. It doesn't give his race, but I know he's black. Start there. For my mother, it says American Indian. So for me, in this new fight where we're saying that the black people of America are American Indian, at the beginning, I felt weird because I knew that that was mine. But my grandma fed me sopapilla and tortillas, and I ate sweet potato pies that she grew in the city, right, in a garden in the city, and she canned, and she was different. And her first language was Spanish. I have a Spanish accent, but she didn't teach me because she was able to talk grown folks conversation in front of me by speaking Spanish. So I never learned it. Now, black people, it may not have gotten to mainstream yet, but it gets convoluted. It gets mixed up. And certain people, the first people that caught on to it said it wrong. They said it wrong. They presented it wrong. And so the way they saw it is all black people are indigenous to this land. We don't want to hear nothing else about it. What they didn't explain was there was a time in America, and there's a thing called matrilineal society. The Indian societies are matrilineal, and the United States adopted that same thing. You go with the status of the mother. There's a thing called the Trail of Tears, and then the Indian Removal Act. I spent my time searching and reading. And guess what I wanted to do when we first got here? I just wanted to start a book club. You see that we got nowhere near that. So that'll be the third portion, right? Because I found the books and the problem. There's a thing called legal fiction, and they didn't know what to call people, so they called them whatever they wanted because name it and claim it, right? You have people from Europe that are naming things and claiming them to be whatever they want. And it's not just one group. It is, you've got the Portuguese, which are first, you've got the Spanish, and you've got, like you said, Irish. The Irish played a major role. You probably got a lot of Native American blood inside of you because of that. And that came in Ireland because they would take the people they had. They tell you about, they finally admitted to having slave breeding farms. And what people don't know is South America had the slave breeding farms, and they were for what they called Americans.
Well, Brazil was the biggest slave trading. You know, there's a reason why Brazilians are dark skinned. There was more slaves there than anywhere.
Worse. They would castrate the men and they would still have them breed with only the Spaniard and then only the Chinese. You had the Bantu Orientalis. I found the books for all of these things. And so I want to have a book club because for whatever reason, the people on TikTok refuse to read the books. Like I can't convince them with text messages. I hadn't been able to voice as to why you need to read this book. There's a place called Florida. Understand that Florida was, you're from Miami. Florida ran from Miami all the way to Nova Scotia. That was Florida. That was Florida at one point. That's what the native people understood Florida. And there was, we had the Pilgrims. They came and they met Metacom, which who became King Philip. And I don't know how that works, but King Philip was the devil and the devil was black. And that was his name. And then so he was happy until they killed a couple of people and they were like Negan. All the Europeans were equivalent to Negan of to the point where if you read the history
of the Walking Dead,
you'll see that they did the same things that Negan did in Walking Dead. So when an Indian person killed another Indian and the Pilgrims decided to kill two Indians in response, Metacom was upset. And they eventually it led to war. The women and children were sent down south to the Caribbean and to South America to the breeding farms. And they continue to build people. They went from there to Spain. The Portuguese are doing this. And they're sending them to Spain and to the Congo. The people in the Congo, the Africans, are angry that black people are saying they are American and we have nothing to do with Africa. And then they're feeling weird because the people in the Congo are finding out that they are Native American. They can't figure out where they get Native American ancestry from because they don't read Portuguese history. They don't read Spanish history. And so they don't know that those slave castles, they tell you this story, but they don't give you the whole story. When they tell you that we want to take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill and put Harriet Tubman, it's because they want you to focus on the Underground Railroad and that freedom was in the North, except for one thing. And this is why you get canceled. I'm sorry. I apologize, but Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina were not America. They were not the U.S. for a long time. 1776, Florida, South Carolina, and Georgia were filled with the runaways that started coming over in the 1400s. And they were breeding, and they were growing, and they were living, and the people from Europe could not go into the swamp, especially during the sick season, and they were free and happy there. You had swamps and you had good land, good dark black land from Alabama, all of Alabama, all the way through Florida. There was good land and they grow stuff. They were happy. Andrew Jackson figured out that if we do not stop them from being, we got to get them out of there. That's where the Indian Removal Act came from. They were getting them out and they were removing the black people from, let me just say it like this, the dark Indians from the light Indians. The light Indians went west. The dark Indians went to slavery. That's why you get canceled, because they did not get the people from Africa. Now, they may have come originally from Africa. We don't debate that. That's not the point. It does not matter. At this point, it doesn't matter. They went from in 1800 900,000 slaves to 1860, 4 million slaves. And they tell you that they had breeding farms that created all of that. Okay, maybe, except for the fact that when you read one book, it tells you the story of how Andrew Jackson and Jacksonian politics, they created the Fugitive Slave Act and they empowered and got every poor American to fight to keep the slaves.
Yeah, growing up in South Florida,
that is where
we heard the Trail of Tears. Well, Tamiami Trail is way down in South Florida, and that's where they walked all the Native Americans out west and up north, you know, through the Trail of Tears, and many, many people died. But continue, please.
And when you read, there's another book. The book, the main one that I spoke about was The Exiles of Florida. And The Exiles of Florida started in Georgia. They got ran out and they ended up in Florida. The war started. And that is the movie that needs to be made. That is the movie that I would make if I could make a movie. If I get any director to make a movie, it is that one, because that is where, that is the story of the African American. And it's beautiful because it has so much numerical significance. It started with 300 and it ended with 300. It ain't the same ones, but it started with 300. It started with, and it started with a King Philip with the Pilgrims. And then there was another King Philip with the Seminoles. People don't understand that Black people are the original Seminoles. There is no controversy in that. They say, well, they were Seminole Indians. No, those were Creek Indians who were cast out for whatever reason. We don't want to speculate as to why they were cast out from. And Creek is just a what do you call it? A blanket name yes. for all of the Indians along the waterways.
Yes.
They were multiple nations, tribes, but they were all called Creek because of laziness. That's why I said it's historical comedy.
Yeah, even the word Indian is laziness as well. But you're talking about okay.
All of it.
Let's get comical, okay? There's a lot of blacks that did not vote for Barack Obama because he wasn't the right kind of black. And Charlize Theron is African American. Your thoughts?
Wait. No, worse. No. Don't hide from it. Run straight to Trump, because I had to explain to people. First of all, we never hated, nobody hated Trump. He's just a person. You know, what we don't like is Trump's followers. I'm sorry, but the South has risen. The South didn't lose the war. When I've read this stuff, the South did not lose the war. The South won. The South fought themselves in the war. And the rich forced the poor to fight.
Oh, now you're following, now you're finding his base. We didn't lose. You could just say you won. Oh, we won. We won the presidency. Yeah, we didn't lose. You could just say stuff now.
No, and if they didn't walk through the White House with the Confederate flag, I wouldn't feel that way. But they made a point to walk through with the Confederate flag.
Right.
For what purpose? To show that we are here. And when you see those flags, you have to understand that those flags, they don't have any other type of flag. When you see the group, the person that's selling them, you never see a group of any other type. You got the little snake in pieces. You got multiple Confederate flags with different faces. It might have Hank Williams Jr. on it. It might have anything on it. But it's only their stuff. There is no flag. No other group is going to buy a flag. And unfortunately, like I said, you might get canceled. Because America, I'm at the point where they need to recognize that's a RICO situation, because it's a criminal organization. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. And you have this group that made you pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America to sell flags. That was the purpose of that, to sell the flags. And what people don't understand is that now that Trump has got them fired up, they feel like they should be able to do what they meant to do in the first place, which is take control of the government. And it's nothing wrong with it. I get it. Because when people talk about white supremacy, they don't understand that it was a response to what the South called black supremacy.
Well, why is it that
black supremacy was the fact?
Growing up, the time that I did, I still love the Dukes of Hazzard. I still want to own a General Lee with that flag on the top. It doesn't mean anything to me, but to a lot of people,
it means
a lot to a lot of people.
Worse. Let me help you explain something. When people, there's a movie called Birth of a Nation.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah.
Okay. So what?
Silent movie from the 20s. Yeah.
You didn't read the book though.
Oh, but
when you read the three books.
Yeah.
When you read the trilogy that they come from, it's three love stories. And if I'm a white woman and I had to, when I'm trying, because of my narcissism, I'm trying to identify with people, and I gotta feel what they're feeling. And I was able to do it because if I'm a white woman, I love the Klan. There is nothing bad about the Klan in that story because the fear that they put on us now was different back then. They told them that you're going to go, you poor whites, which are less than these slaves. You are less than these slaves during slavery. You are less than them. They made you feel that way. You couldn't even afford them. That slave was better than you because he had a master who could stop you, and you didn't have anything. So when they gave them freedom, now they're going to put you into slavery. That's the story they told them. I don't think that was going to happen, but that's what they told them, and that's what they go off of. They don't want to go into slavery because they came from the feudal system. They came from slavery, okay? And the vast majority of what we call, I try to explain to people, you're not white. You know, you say, well, I'm white. No, because that happened in 1717 when they had a covenant where we decide we're not going to fight each other anymore because Europe is only as big as Georgia. If we keep fighting each other, we have no chance. The rest of the world is different. Well, they decided to stand together. Good job. Go ahead.
Well, for those that don't know that Birth of a Nation, and there's a reason that it's so, I mean, yeah, besides the subject matter that it glorifies the KKK, it gets shown to all these film students because of the way it was shot. So you watch this movie, and regardless of the subject matter, you're still showing it to student after student after student because, oh, look at the way this was shot. Look at the way this was shot. But it's glorifying the KKK. Worse.
You're learning. That's your first social media. If you don't count, the newspaper.
Oh,
let's forget the newspaper where J.P. Morgan said, give me the press and I'll control the people.
Yes.
And when I'm reading this book called The American Slave Coast, and J.P. Morgan is he's a young man. And he's on a ship with 1,000 slaves. You know, when I go a little further, the Titanic is his voyage. It's his thing.
Yes.
He's got two ships. And he puts all of his competitors on the Titanic. And it goes down. This is why you get canceled. I'm sorry.
This is some conspiracy level right here. J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the Titanic. He didn't get on the Titanic.
No, he stepped off. He put his competitors on it, and the people that were trying to stop the fractional reserve system. Zoe, you said, so he had the fractional reserve system. She wants attention. So he has the fractional reserve system, and Jekyll Island happened, you know, over Christmas, and he makes that the money. Well, before that, go get your ball. Okay. So before that, people were the money. There's a thing. There's no such thing as money even now. That's why I said you're going to get canceled. There's no such thing as money. That this fiat system, it's not real. What money actually is an application for credit. That application is the money, right? You have the person you're applying to, and then somebody else, we don't know who that is, they place themselves on it. That becomes a bond. Now, this is now a security. And they actually use that to create money. And we don't understand none of that.
No.
And what we don't know is Alexander Hamilton, Andrew Jackson, they knew this. This is how they set up this government. This is how they set up our money. And Andrew Jackson got to do it. Alexander Hamilton got to do it because he was friends with Washington. And Washington was the richest man in the country through marriage. And the largest slave owner. And he was, you know, and slaves were the money. Back then, all your wealth was tied in to those people. The people are the money and their children are the interest. And this was before what we know as slavery. This was when 1776 happened. Slavery wasn't a real thing. You had a few slave owners. Once your slave ran to the woods, you couldn't chase them. They were gone. They said they tried to enslave the native people. It was that. If you had Indians, they were gone. If you had black people, they were gone. You couldn't chase them because you couldn't go through the woods. They did not have dogs at that point, right? This is before dogs chasing people.
I don't think because they didn't have lights
when,
you know, to be going into the woods in the dark.
No, and there's snakes, alligators, yeah. You know, mosquitoes was the worst thing. Mosquitoes was the worst. And the person that's risking death anyway, they're running from death.
Yeah.
They don't mind. They'll take a chance. And they were lucky enough to have sickle cell, which made it so they did not die from malaria.
Oh, gee, lucky.
And so sickle they could cell. Take that chance. Yeah. Well, hey, it is what it is. It but is. The point was that this was 1776. Well, my freedom, July 4th, my freedom, I wasn't free. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Because Florida was not the United States. You were free. They showed up after they got 3 million people out of those swamps. Period. Period. If you don't believe me, keep reading the books. There's multiple. Find out what a Maroon is. It's not just Nanny in Jamaica. It's not just Queen Nanny in Jamaica. There's more Maroons. All of America had Maroons. Okay, so you had people living free in the swamps. When they started to round up the people, you got a guy walking around with hats saying cash for Negroes. Who is that? That is any black person, Indian, Negro, whatever you want to call not white, that did not have free papers, went into slavery. There's a thing called a coffle. You only had one president to walk a coffle. That was Andrew Jackson. He went from wherever he was at to what we know as Memphis. I can't remember the name that they used at right now, but it was like it was basically going to Memphis. He went from Kentucky to Memphis, and he was the only president to walk a coffle. A coffle is you chain the men up, you tie the women with ropes, and the men can't get undone until they get to a blacksmith. Like, you got them tied in and you can't even let them go if you wanted to. And you made them walk. And where did they get them from? They're not telling you. You have to read this book and this book to realize they're both going on at the same time. They're feeding in the people that they pull from what you call the Trail of Tears. The people, the exiles of Florida, as they removed them during the Seminole Wars. The Seminole Wars was purely to get the Africans, what we called Africans, away, what we called slaves away, even though they were born to Indian indigenous mothers. So they were free. They had been free for over 200 years before that started. Most of them had been free for over 200 years before that started. This is the reason you don't want CRT, because what they did was they took your name away. They took your ability to write away, to say that I'm the son of this man, because your inheritance was passed through the father. So you could not attach yourself to any inheritance. But today, it does not matter if he was a slave or not. If he was my father, then I inherit what he owned. And people don't understand that they were allowed to have land patents. And I wouldn't be so happy about it if I didn't already have one. If mine wasn't super great, nothing I want to talk about, because I don't want nobody hurting me, because I want to get it. And so what you have to understand is that the biggest fear is that what a young black boy would stop trying to be rich, would stop trying to be cool, would stop trying to be famous, and try to understand who his parents are and who his grandparents are and who his great grandparents are. When he learns to find that out, he understands that you don't need money, sir. They're all immigrants. That's the issue in this situation. They're immigrants, and they could never have a land patent because they're not indigenous to this land. They could not receive it from the crown. So that's why you'd be canceled. That's why they would come and unalive me. I don't care, because I've already started the process and we're going to get it, because you don't need to fight. You can't compete where you don't compare. You're not in the same situation as everyone else.
There's no
right?
need
you're in a
to,
situation.
There's
where,
no need to live in fear. Christ Cipher, you know, you're a very knowledgeable man, and I look forward. I want to point everybody towards that TikTok, because I want you to get those 1,000 followers so you can do those lives. And you're talking about a book club. You know, I think making people read books, it's hit and miss. Some people are going to read, some people are not. But what you could do for your podcast, for your content, is story time. You could read to them, spoon feed it, because sometimes they need it in bite size. You know, if you're able to, at least if their authors are alive, you can tell them, or you can reach out to them. Hey, can I read your book on, you know, a story time on YouTube, on Facebook, on TikTok, whatever platform. And what I wish for you is that this becomes a monetary advancement as well. There is that possibility. You're talking about the kids on TikTok. It has, all right, kids don't want to be firefighters. They don't want to be doctors. They don't want to be lawyers anymore. They want to be content creators. They want to make that $2,000 a stream plus, you know, oh, I got to create content. I can make $2,000 a day just doing stream, just talking about, you know, a Pokemon or whatever, whatever widget. But I wish that for you. If that happens, it's a byproduct. But the main thing is you're going to be teaching people. So get that book of the month club or book of the week club or book of the day club, whatever, however much you want to involve people. Maybe you can read a chapter at a time, a page at a time. Discuss that page and get the authors involved. I want to land this plane because, man, you have given so much and there is so much more to give. I'm privileged. I get to talk to you almost every day. I get to see your face almost every day. And I get a little tidbit of knowledge here and there. People have gotten a good hour of what Christ's Cipher is going to be. And that's the brand. I know, branding. People think that branding is something that happened because of the internet. Branding's been around since people were people. Cleopatra was a brand. Caesar was a brand. Okay, but I want you to give some last thoughts and start landing this plane.
Okay, thank you. I don't even want to mess with that. That was perfect. That was better than I could have imagined. I will say for my grandmother that also had the land patch and figured out a way to make that happen, she was also the first woman to have her own cattle brand in America. And ironically, at 18, I tatted that same image on my arm, and I didn't hear about her until I was in my late 30s. And so I mixed that with my mother not having an actual middle name, just an initial, that sometimes you're not supposed to know everything. You're not supposed to find out the truth about everything, because if you receive the truth or knowledge without full understanding, it's considered a curse. And so I don't want to curse anybody. I don't want to give you too much information if I cannot help you understand it. And I think that's where I want to land the plane. And I appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, party people. Christ Cipher. The man has knowledge. The man has a thought process. And I want you to go on the journey with him. I think he's primarily going to be on TikTok, so look for him, Christ Cipher on TikTok. That's the brand. You can Google Christ Cipher and see if he's anyplace else. He might put stuff up on Instagram and TikTok. I mean, in YouTube and I don't know. Who knows? He might be on Pinterest. But look up Christ Cipher and find out more, but especially on TikTok. I wanted to get his 1,000 fans and be able to go live and tell you about the books. You know, he's got a book club and he's got knowledge about, you know, Trail of Tears, the Native Americans versus the African Americans versus the Irish versus all kinds of people. I want you to learn and teach. Learn and teach each other. That's what we can do. That's what we do. We teach each other. This podcast is primarily a learning podcast. I'm always learning from the people that are, you know, on the other side of the screen. Just like you, my loyal listener. Thank you so much, Christ Cipher, for being on the podcast. That concludes this edition of What Makes You Famous. Now, if you, yes, you, my loyal listener, if you want to tell your story, I encourage you to give me a call, 501-470-6386, or email keysdan@aol.com. That's it for me. It's keysdanradiowhat.com, djlittlerock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.
If you like what you hear, follow What Makes You Famous social media. Use the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Follow on Facebook at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Instagram at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Twitter at Makes Famous. And follow on YouTube at Keys Dan. Leave What Makes You Famous podcast a review and subscribe. Listen to What Makes You Famous podcast on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and almost anywhere you find podcasts. Tell your story on my podcast, What Makes You Famous. Call 501-470-6386 and leave a message to set up a time. You can support What Makes You Famous using the PayPal link, paypal.me/KeysDan. What Makes You Famous podcast is a production of Keys Dan Enterprises Incorporated at KeysDan.com. Thank you for listening.
Radio What, the music you want. Hey guys, this is Shelly G with a fast fact. The home video recorder was introduced in 1972 by Philips of the Netherlands. Do you have a fast fact? Share it with us at Interactive Radio, RadioWhat.com.
Tweet, tweet, yo. Follow Radio What on Twitter, @RadioWhatTwit. Tweet, tweet, yo.